When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well met, fellow adventurers. In this episode, once again, we are Sir Croakington, and we are in Ironguard, and soon we will be going to Thorn Island to fill up a jar with the sacred flame for reasons. Reasons that seem to have something to do with the person who sent me. Possibly being a ghost, what with him mysteriously disappearing. Or maybe he's just a ninja. Or has magical skills of illusion. Or something. Or various other things. Hopefully we'll have an idea once we've got the jar. Now in the previous episode, we got two of those icons which you put in imbuable equipment, which haven't used in years because it's been left behind by the steady increase of stats that just happens in games. It's just a thing that happens in any RPG. The default is stats will increase over time, and of course in an online RPG where there's been much more time, the stats can increase a lot more. I mean, sometimes they have to jiggle things a bit so the stats go lower for reasons. And some games lean into it and you have stats so high that people are learning new numbers just from what the stats are in your RPG. But anyway, let's identify these two icons. And then just carry them around and do nothing with them. Admittedly, I could store them all in my residence if I wanted it to be easier to get to the misc part of my inventory, but yeah, maybe not. We'll see. Anyway, use Arcania. I have now the wood icon of Phantasmal Waff, and the Iron Icon of Demon Fire, and 32 experience to Arcania. Now, if they're things I only have one of, I'll look at them. If I have more than one of, I've probably wed them out at some point before, so I won't. Oh, no, we've already got a Wood Icon of Demon Fire. No, Wood Icon of Phantasmal Waff. No, that's new to me. This small, square, glowing icon is crafted out of solid wood. It is obvious that this strange object is not of this world. The likeness of a ghostly figure is etched onto its surface. It has the power of Phantasmal Waff. So if you have one of those imbuable weapons equipped, you get some sort of special power. Might be worth lowering your MR a lot just to gain that power, because most characters have way more melee rating they could ever conceivably need for anything other than getting to the highest level of the battlegrounds, which is really mostly cosmetic. Admittedly, those statues are cool, so it might be worth it if you like having statues of yourself around. And you either already have the Titans of Telsa statues and you want more, or you don't have the Titans of Telsa statues and you think, hey, I want a statue of myself. Although, admittedly, you can get a statue of yourself by doing the Stomper's Day Out quest. So everyone can have statues of themselves. Very nice. It's just if you pay money, those statues could be enormous. Okay, and let's look at the Iron Icon of Demon Fire. Iron icons tend to be better than the other items. This goes with weapons. This small, square, glowing icon is crafted out of solid iron. It is obvious this strange object is not of this world. The likeness of a winged demon is etched onto its surface. And I can put, and the game says, yeah, you can put this on imbuable items, but I'm not going to. I mean, if you want to, you can find out what all the icons do and update the wiki, perhaps. I'm not sure the wiki actually says what all the powers do. Actually, I'm going to check. Right. Now. Yeah, the wiki doesn't seem to have any information about how often the powers trigger, all the range of damage they can do, or perhaps they do something else. Maybe it'll be a fun thing for someone to do. Just get all the powers and just document what they are. Because there seems to be something that's missing. There's something to consider. Okay, now let's go to not Iron Guard. No, we're going to call off the exploration of Iron Guard, main way to Thorn Island. Yeah, and you get to it the same as you did the first time. Explore Thorn Island. I'm going to explore a few times just to see if anything turns up. That's a blackhorn beetle, that's the usual one. Oozing beetles, three of them actually. There's some XP for that. Three, okay, we've had three random battle encounters. I mean, you get something for it, but as a grind spot, not really worth it, because in other encounters, you get a lot more XP per encounter, and then you get more XP at the end, and better and more loot. Although this is infinitely repeatable, so at least it has that. But I wouldn't pick this as a grind spot. Nope, not at all. Okay, to the tower. Rising up out of the tangled veil, stretching just above the tops of the ancient trees, the whim of the deep ravine, is the legendary Tower of Thorn Isle. The upper portions of the imposing stone structure are obscured by the rolling mist that continues to sweep over the island. High above, its golden glow piercing the veil of fog, you can make out what could only be the light from the enchanted flame of the tower's beacon. The wall that once surrounded the tower is now nothing more than a few scattered heaps of rubble. A heavy wooden door, showing no signs of decay, stands closed beneath an ornate arch set into the tower's base. Let's enter the tower. Despite several attempts to open the door, you are unable to gain entrance into the tower. You believe that the wooden door is protected by powerful magic, and the means to open it must lie elsewhere. Alright, okay. Let's check out that tunnel then. Alright, that explains it. Of course we've got to do something in the tunnel. You're standing before the broad mouth of a tunnel that plunges into the side of a rock-strewn hill. in the tangled swath of forest at the centre of Thorn Island. The arch that frames the mouth of the tunnel is made up of massive stone blocks. Beyond the arch, a wide passage extends out of sight, swiftly disappearing into the gloom. Let's enter the tunnel. Okay, like last time, I'm starting in the northwest corner. Now, with the glowing goblin dealt with, hopefully I'll be able to get deeper into it this time. Last time there were barriers. Without warning, the passage rapidly fills with thick, churning cloud of mist. Your eyes begin to water, and horror engulfs you as you immediately suspect the vapours surrounding you are poisonous. Pick your number. Bonus of 30. 20 from body. 10 from spirit. Gotta get 50 or more, or get poisoned. Pick now. 55. Success. The thick mist filling the corridor fills your eyes and nose, but you manage to struggle through a toxic cloud before the deadly vapours overwhelm you. Thankful to have escaped the effects of the poisonous mist, you cautiously press on along the tunnel passage. Okay. And, okay, in the northeast corner is something. An iron-tipped stone lever protrudes from the back wall of this narrow alcove. Several wounds are engraved along the lever's thick haft. The lever is currently moved into its upper position. I'll just leave that be. And, okay, I'm getting to I'm in the northeast corner. There's a near complete square with, I presume, levers near the northeast corner. And on the south side, there's a question mark, which is, the section of this wide tunnel passes beneath a tall arch. The blocks that make up the arch are covered with engravings that depict a tower through various stages of construction. Beneath the arch is a heavy iron portcullis which is currently lowered, preventing you from moving any further along the passage. When you attempt to approach the portcullis, you are appelled by an invisible barrier. I assume those levers will do something with that. I can't get any further. Okay, I'm going to pull the lever. Move the lever down. You grasp the lever and pull it as far as you would go. Move back west. Okay, can I get past the portcullis? It's currently raised. Okay. And past that to the northeast. Pull this lever down. Alright, pull the lever down. Head back south. Through the portcullis. And just to south, before the map splits into a straight route to the west and then a roundabout route that also goes west. Oh yeah, okay, yep. Yeah, that I've raised that portcullis too. Right, time to take the long way round to the west, looping to the south. Without warning, the passage rapidly fills with a thick, churning cloud of mist. Your eyes begin to water, and horror engulfs you as you immediately suspect the vapours surrounding you are poisonous. Okay. Picking up, it's same check as before, pick now. 111, success. The thick mist filling the corridor stings your eyes and nose, but you manage to struggle through the toxic cloud before the deadly vapours overwhelm you. Thankful to have escaped the effects of the poisonous mist, you cautiously press on through the tunnel passage. Okay, and there's an alcove to the north. There's a lever pulled, an iron-tipped stone lever protrudes from the back wall of the alcove. Several wounds are engraved upon the lever's thick shaft. Okay, I'm going to head back south. And west there's another question mark. And there's another portcullis. Okay, I'm going to pull the lever that I've just been to, and that will probably lower it. Move the lever up. You grasp the lever and push it up as far as it will go. Head back south to the portcullis. Promptly repelled by an invisible barrier. Okay. Maybe this one, the second one I came across. Pull up as far as it will go. Alright, cloud of mist. Same check as before. 118 success. Cautious press on. It's a random check. Currently raised. Pearl by an invisible barrier. Pull the lever down. Okay, down, all three levers down. Will that solve it? Move the lever down. Back south. I'll put Carlos Waste. Back south. Alright, the portcullis that was repelling me again. Okay. What about the first lever I came across? Poison check. Passed it again. Pull the lever up. And it's currently raised. Okay, looks like you only have to... Monster choruses are raised, they stay raised. Alright. How do I get past this then? Alright. There must be something I could do with these portcullises. Alright. I'm going to pull all the levers up and see what that does. Poison mist check again, passed again. Okay, I'm sorry I'm not making that many comments, but I'm not sure how to do this. Even though I've done this before a lot of times. Pull the lever up. Okay, all four levers are up. Mist check. Check. Okay, all three are raised, and now this portcullis to the last section of the tunnel in the southwest corner is done. And here's the last lever. You're standing at the end of a broad tunnel passage you've been following. Affixed to the stone wall, 3 feet off the floor, is a massive stone wheel. Several engravings depicting a tower adorn the wheel. Okay, I guess this will unlock the tower. Attempt to turn the wheel. As you step forward, prepare to try and give the wheel a turn. You're startled by the sound of movement from a passage behind you. You spin around and find yourself confronted by a sight that makes your blood run cold. What could it be? A moaning, armor-clad ghoul. Its rotting flesh dropping in small chunks from its limbs and torso staggers out of the gloom, its bone-tipped fingers raising the visor of its ancient helm that covers its decaying head. Strung along a tattered leather belt that encircles the creature's waist is a gruesome collection of skeletal hands. Presumably, the severed hands of some of the ghoul's previous victims. Leave here! Hisses the ghoul, its horror eye sockets fixed on you. Leave this place! You are not welcome here! You quickly assume a defensive stance as the ghoul draws a rusted sword and staggers forward. It's a rotting guardian. Ooh, looks like this one's scaled. Which means it's time for Tiara's staff. Begin combat. Tiara's staff has hoped lower the difficulty of this enemy. The rotting guardian slashes at you with his rusted blade. And is decayed and defeated. 24 XP and then 64 XP to general. A thorough search of the remains of the undead guardian turns up little of any particular interest. Save for an iron-winged perched on one of the skeletal hands strung along the ghoul's decaying belt. The untarnished iron band, devoid of any markings, seems unusually cold and strangely heavy for its size. Believing it may be magical, you quickly take possession of it. It's an unidentified cold iron wing. It's got an encumbrance of 1. It's unidentified, as I just said. You found this cold, weighty iron finger on the iron wing on the finger of an undead guardian in the gloomy tunnel on Thorn Island. And now, I'll be identifying that at some point. Okay, let's just check out the mischeck. Got past that again. So they just keep turning up. Attempt to turn the wheel. Gripping both sides of the massive stone wheel, you manage to turn almost a complete rotation to the right. The wheel suddenly grinds to a halt, and you quickly discover you're no longer able to budge it in either direction. Okay, now I should be able to get in the tower. Which is the whole reason we're on this island. Mischeck. And it's passed. Okay. Keep going. Leave the tunnel. Move away from here. Turn to the tower. We've already read that tower description. Enter the tower. Before your fingers even brush against its latch, the heavy door creaks open and swings slowly inward, revealing the dark interior of the tower's ground level. With your trusty light casting its reassuring glow, you boldly step forward into the gloom. The door closes behind you. Let's hope we can open it again. You're standing just inside the heavy wooden door that serves as the only entrance to the abandoned tower. To the west, a wide passage continues into the gloomy interior of the ancient structure. Okay, I'm on the east side of the tower. And to the west, we've got a hash. Sort of like a hashtag shaped. Shaped tower, mostly. Of course, the eastern part only has one. There's one little prong, which I'm on. The engraving of a woad woman adorns the west wall of this section of the corridor. Examine the engraving. You step closer to the wall and closely examine the engraving. The carved image depicts a woad woman standing with her left arm raised and her right arm lowered. In a raised left hand, the woman holds an open book. In a lowered white hand, she holds a flaming candle. Next to her white foot lies an ornate bell. A single arrow is engraved next to the woad figure. The carved arrow stands on end, with its sharp tip pointed upwards. As you step back from the wall, you wonder if there's any hidden meaning to be gleaned for what is depicted in the elaborate engraving. Okay, I'm gonna pause while I make a note of all I've seen here. Okay, I've written everything down. That should save me from having to constantly go back to this thing to check it. Okay, first thing first, I'm gonna go north and check out the eastern of the northern prongs. You're standing in a wide alcove, just off the corridor you've been following. A stone pedestal stands in the centre of the alcove, atop which rests a large mouldy tomb. Approach the pedestal. As you step towards the pedestal, the mouldy tomb springs open. The book's tattered pages rustle loudly as they turn, sealing with own accord. Without warning, the tome suddenly closes. The glowing image of a book hovers above the pedestal on the left. Alright, step out of the alcove. Okay, and now the west side. Okay, the book. Raised white hand. Open book. Okay, I'm gonna. Alright, step on the pedestal. It's a bell. You're standing just in Dust off an alcove you've been following. A strange pedestal stands in the centre of the alcove, atop which rests a large iron bone. Approaches the pedestal. Image of a bell. So confusing. The bell, glowing image of a bell, hovers above the pedestal on the left and on the right. In the lower, approach the pedestal, flowing images. As you step towards the pedestal, the iron bell floats into the air, wide eyes with your heart pounding. You watch as the bell rings itself three times before falling silent and slowly descending back on top of the pedestal. Good God. I'm sure there's a trick. Step out of the alcove. There's some stairs to climb. The glowing the northern of the western Bronx. The glowing apparition of an armoured woman hovers only an inch above the floor of this section of alcoves. The ghost, her lifeless gaze fixed on you, holds out her spectral horn. It is offing to step towards the apparition. You're taking only a single step towards the apparition when a horrified look suddenly spreads across the face of the glowing spirit. Without a sound, the ghost vanishes, leaving you alone in your alcove. You wait for several minutes to see if the apparition will return. When it does not, you step out of the alcove and step back onto the main corridor. Okay, I haven't solved the puzzle yet. And there's a stair on the western side of the hash. Okay, on the south side, there's the lady again. The glowing apparition of a young man, his phantasmal hands clutching the ghostly axe and shield, hovers just off the floor at the back of the alcove. The ghost has an unsettling gaze fixed on you, holds out his shield as offering you step towards the apparition. Okay, you take only a single step towards the apparition, while a horrified look spreads across the face of the glowing spirit. Without a sound, the ghost vanishes, leaving you alone in the alcove. You wait for several moments to see if the apparition will return. When it does not, you step out of the alcove and step into the main corridor. Alright. Alright, white. Right foot. Right. A terrifying howl erupts out of the gloom ahead and echoes along the corridor. You instinctively draw yourself into combat-ready stance as the glowing apparition floats into view. The hideous spectre, its mangled limb and torso, hinting at a gruesome demise that ended its terror among the living, stretches out a rag-clad arms and surges toward you as a restless soul, although it will rest soon. Chair of Staff hopes with this. The hideous ghost gropes at you with its mangled hands. The touch of the enemy sends a deathly chill the length of your body for 11 damage. And it is slain. 23 XP. The hideous phantom dissolves into thin strips of silver mist that rapidly dissipate. In a matter of moments, there is no longer any sign of the gruesome spirit. Thankful to survive the encounter and eager to resume your exploration of the tower, you quickly check over your equipment before promptly setting off along the dark corridor. Okay, and on the western side of the western of the Southern Sprongs, you're standing in a wide alcove just above the corridor you've been following. A stone pedestal stands in the middle center of the alcove, atop which rests a lone unlit candle, protruding from the ornate stone. Ornate stone candlestick. The glowing image of a bell hovers above the pedestal on your left. Alright, let's step out of the alcove. Okay, and the eastern prong. The western and southern walls of this small room are each adorned with the engraved likeness of a soaring hawk. Something about the carved birds of prey unnerves you, as if their lifeless eyes are following you every move. Okay, there's nothing to do here, as far as I know. Oh, wait, suddenly. Without warning, the sharp sound of splintering stone fills the air. Well, of course something would happen. This is a very dense dungeon. You don't get a prong without something to fiddle, or something trying to kill you. You spin around and watch, wide-eyed, as the two engraved hawks tear themselves from the wall and streak towards you. Well, at least with a fight, I know what to do. So honestly, I think I almost prefer that to a puzzle that's where it's not precisely clear what you do. Although, admittedly, I think it's pretty obvious if you get yourself into the white state of mind, but I'm not sure if I'm in the white state of mind. The stone talons poised to sink into your flesh. With no way to escape the ferocious attack, you struggle to fend off the savage birds of prey. Stonehawk, one of two. The stonehawk assails with its beak and talons. It is slain. 19 XP. Swiftly engage the second stonehawk. Stonehawk, two of two. So it's with beak and talons. Is slain. Another 19 XP. With the last of the stone hawks now nothing more than a small pile of rubble at your feet, you relax. Stanchion exhales sharply. 64 XP to general. Alright, okay. That's a sign whatever I did, I was supposed to do. You make a quick search through the shattered remains of the stone hawks, discover nothing of any particular interest. Vowing to wait on your guard while exploring the tower, you check over your equipment, then make your way out of the room. Alright, to the south. Just the remains of the hawks I smashed. Okay. Now. White. The raised left hand has an open book. Okay, left. That must be here on the left. I'm assuming the left. If she's facing to the east, then her left hand will be to the south. The raised left hand has an open book. Approach the pedestal. No. Approach the pedestal again. There's a candle. Don't want that. There's another candle. Two candles. Don't want that. There's a candle. Glowing image of a candle. Waste. Alright. I want to get to the book. Candle. Candle. It's a candle. Glowing image of a candle. The image vanishes. Step out to the alcove. Okay, I think. Why are there all these candles? I want a candle. I want a book. Like white legs next to a raised left hand is an open book. Okay, candle. Right, there's nothing there that might help. Okay, the ghostly man, Hoffman's hack. Nope, horror, nothing's. Okay, let's try the lower right hand has an ornate candle. Approach the pedestal. Bell. Two bells. Bell. No, I don't want bells. Step out of the alcove. Okay, and. Okay, the lower white. The white foot has just one bell. Time suddenly closes. Book. And book. Okay, I'm going to set all of these apparitions to have nothing. There's a Westless Soul. Just going to quick combat that. Okay, all the apparitions. I'm setting them to nothing. No apparitions there. Then maybe I'll be able to do something with the spirits on the western side. No, I don't want a thing. I don't want a candle. Don't want two candles. Simply vanish. Okay, no apparitions on any side. Alright, horrified look from the man on the south and from the woman. Alright, horrified look. Examine the engraving. Okay, maybe I've just set it to one. Okay, I'm gonna set the alcoves to one of each. Book, one book, Quick Combat of Westless Soul. Glowing image of a book, hovers above the pedestal. Another Westless Soul, Quick Combat that. 54 XP. Glowing image of a book on the southwest edge. Okay. Now let's set them to nothing. Approach the pedestal. Book and candle. Wait, book and candle? Approach the pedestal. Candle, and that's the... Okay. Candle. Two candles. Just to there. The glowing image of a candle hovers a professor to a candle to the left, candle to the right. Okay, maybe. Oh, God. All right, okay. Darn it. Right. Oh, I don't know. Just too much going on. I don't get... I'm not thinking the way the GM thinks. Which means I suppose it would be very obvious. Sharp tip pointed upwards. What does that mean? I thought there'd be a lever I could pull, but no.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay. What does that mean? Alright, I'm just set it to nothing on any of the apparitions. Glowing image of a bell. Two bells. Northwestern of the three. No, not that. It's a bell. Two bells. Oh, that's me. Yeah. The pedestal. The southwest one. Candle. Suddenly vanish. Okay, there's no pedestals anywhere. Okay, there's nothing going from the pedestals. Okay, wait. Are the shattered hawks? Maybe I can use that weathered parchment here. No. Climb the stairs. As you approach the stairs, you're startled by a harsh whisper that seems to come from every direction all at once. The ghastly voice seems that of a woman. Woman appears to issue you some kind of warning. You do not have all you require. Dare not to climb into the dark unprepared. Okay, that means I've still got to do stuff with this puzzle, which... It's just too stupid to do this puzzle! The voice trails off into something that resembles the low growl. Alright, let's not climb this tower. There must be a way to do it, but... I just don't... There's a restless soul, just going to quick combat that. Alright, pause. Just going to... Okay, I've checked the wiki. Apparently... whether the hands are left or white doesn't indicate what things you put where. It's about what order you put them in. So the hands are. Okay. The height of the objects is what is the order, and if the power's pointing up, you go from the foot, lower hand, upper hand. Okay. All right. Bell first, then the candle. The alcove. Bell. Candle. Oh, yeah. All of the alcoves show the same thing. So I start with a candle. Quick combat. That's the first one I visit. I visit the candle and then the bell. Approach the pedestal. As you step towards the pedestal, the iron bow suddenly floats into the air. Wide-eyed with your heart pounding, you watch as the bell wings itself three times before falling silent and slowly descending back onto the pedestal. Bell, bell. And then the book. Approach the pedestal. As you step towards the pedestal, the moody tone springs open. The book's pages rustle as they turn. Seeing with their own accord, that one in turn suddenly closes. Okay, the glowing image has suddenly vanished. Okay, I'm going to visit the bell first. The bell, which is in the northwest corner. Approach the pedestal. The bell rings three times. The bell. And then the candle. As you step towards it, visiting the candle, steps towards the pedestal, the candle flares to life. The thin yellow flame extending from the tip of the candle dances wild for several moments before suddenly extinguishing itself, to find only a faint trail of fragrant smoke. Okay, I visited the bell, the candle, and then finally the book. At least I think that's how it's supposed to go. Approach the pedestal. You step towards the pedestal, the moldy's hole springs open. The book's tattered page also allows its turn, so we have to go with that one. The turn closes suddenly. Okay, I'm not sure exactly what I've done, but I've solved it. Suddenly, a pair of distant, ghastly wails rises into the air, echoing through the tower's gloom-filled corridors. As swiftly as it rose, the unnerving sound fades into silence, and the images have vanished. Okay, all this tells, the only thing you have to do is visit the three things in the white order. That's it. There's no, you don't have to adjust them to show something. And all those two images show is the last two you've visited. Okay, I'm at the lower of the two ghosts. It's the ghost of the young man. She's offering me an axe. Step towards the apparition. 32 experience to general. You take only a single step towards the apparition when the glowing spirit suddenly surges forward, passing right through you. You instinctively spin around, only to find yourself staring at the last, swiftly vanishing wisps of the ghost phantasmal shield. Okay, that's probably helped me in some way. Okay, in the northern of the western prongs. The glowing apparition of an armoured woman hovers only an inch off the floor at the back of the deep alcove. The ghost, her lifeless gaze fixed on you, holds out her spectral sword as if offering it to you. Step towards the apparition. 32 experience to general. You're taking only a single step towards the apparition when the ghostly spirit surges forward, passing right through you. You instinctively spin forward, only to find yourself staring at the last, swiftly vanishing wisps of the ghost phantasmal sword. Okay, I've got what I need now. Climb the stairs. You climb the stairs to the second level of the tower. Now, if you don't solve this puzzle, you can still finish this tower. I know there's been at least one character where I couldn't solve the puzzle, and either apparently it just didn't occur to me, or some sort of pride meant I wouldn't ask for help, so I just went for up the stairs even though I didn't have what I needed. It's just there was a lot more fights and they were a lot harder. You're standing at the southern end of a long, broad passage that extends to the north, swiftly passing out of sight as it plunges into the deep gloom beyond your range of sight. Directly behind you, a set of stone steps leads down into the first level of the tower. Head north along the passage. You've gone nearly four dozen yards along the broad corridor when you begin to realise the passage of such profound length couldn't possibly fit inside the tower. You immediately suspect that powerful magic is at work here. Ah, it must have been Zafarug Timebender's best friend and possible spouse Angle Crab, who does the time, who does the space bending stuff. Yes, that's what I assume. Even though Angle Crab is from an entirely different game called A House of Many Doors. And if you like Swift, you'll probably like that. Because they're both very much about lots of world building and lots of reading. And as trains. You get to ride around on a train with legs anyhow. Peering northward into gloom, you're unable to see any end to the corridor. Continue north along the strange passage. You continue steadily north along the seemingly endless passage. Your every sense alert for the first sign of danger as you rarely make your way through the gloom. Suddenly, something stirs in the darkness ahead. You instinctively draw yourself into combat-ready stance as a gruesome figure staggers out of the gloom to the north. The rotting corpse, that of a young man, his festering flesh clad in the ragged remnants of its ancient attire, moans softly as it lurches towards you. It's a rotting guard. Begin combat. Four plus, it must have scaled to that. Because there's no way it was naturally that high. The rotting foe wakes at you with its jagged, fleshless fingertips. And is slain. And 24 XP with a ghastly howl, swiftly followed by a short series of ragged gasps. Your rotting foe collapses into a heap at the centre of the passage. You step back from the festering remains of the undead horror as your eyes scan the darks ahead for any sign of movement. After making a quick check of your gear, you prepare to once again set off along the passage. Continue north along the passage. You continue north along the seemingly endless passage. Your every sense alert for the first sign of danger as you early make your way through the gloom. As you continue along the passage, an ever-deepening sense of dread begins to gnaw. You continue north along the passage. Okay, keep continuing north. Something stirs in darkness to the head. You instinctively draw yourself into combat-ready stance as a gruesome figure staggers out of the gloom to the north. The rotting corpse, that of a middle-aged woman, its festering flesh clad in the ragged remnants of its ancient attire, moans softly as it lurches towards you. This is the first undead horror you've encountered in this seemingly undead endless passage. I guess the one I just found doesn't count. It's a rotting huntress. Your rotting foe wakes at you with her jagged, fleshless fingertips. It is slain. 24 XD. With a ghastly howl, followed by a short series of jagged gasps, your rotting foe collapses into a heap in the centre of the passage. You step back from the festering remains of the undead horror as your eyes scan the darks ahead for any sign of movement. After making a quick check of your gear, you prepare to once again set off along the passage. Continue north along the passage. You continue steadily north along the seemingly endless passage, your every sense alert at the first sign of danger as you warily make your way through the gloom. As you continue along the passage, an ever-deepening sense of dread begins to gnaw. You continue north, warily make your way through the gloom. Something stirs. Alright. You instinctively draw yourself into combat-ready stance as a gruesome figure staggers out of gloom to the north. The rotting corpse of an elderly woman, its festering flesh carried in the ragged remnants of ancient attire, moans softly as it lurches towards you. This is the second undead horror you've encountered in this seemingly endless passage. It's a rotting lady. I'm just gonna go through these quickly. There was a savage blow for 6 damage. The gas, 24 XP, with a ghastly howl, swiftly followed by a short series of wacky gasps. Your rotting foe collapses into a heap in the centre of the passage. You step back from the festering remains of the undead horror as your eyes scour the darkness ahead for any sign of movement. After making a quick check of your gear, you prepare to once again set off along the passage. Continue north along the passage. Barely make my way through the gloom. Continue north. Suddenly, middle-aged woman. You know what? These are just randomised. I'm just going to spam through these. Continue north, that's another 24 XP. Something stirs the darkness ahead. It's a watting servant. It's an elderly man. Yeah, I think it's just randomized. They're not I don't think they're individually made. Continue north. A watting lady. Young woman, ancient attire. Oh, now it's a plus six. Still can handle this easily enough. This dungeon, having the anti-undead weapon, probably the ones you're most likely to have are the Quen Blade or Chioa's Staff. Of course, depending on how deep you are in the game, it's more likely to be the Quen Blade. Or there's stuff you can get in tallies if you're quite early in the game and you're in a pinch. And then once you're done with it, you just give it back to tallies. No problem. Something stirs darkness just ahead. A watting huntress. Wakes you with a jagged fleshless fingertips. Yes, they all fight the same. Another 25 XP. Continue north. Something stirs. Another watting huntsman. 6 plus after the reduction. It was grey before that. 25 XP. Continue north. Something stirs. It's a watting guard. This is the 8th one. That means you're going to get a couple of hundred experience just from the combat in Justice Tunnel. So it's quite a bit of XP. Nowhere near, nothing compared to the XP you got when it was fresh. Because that's what often happens with these seasonal events. When they become permanent, the rewards are churned way down. For when this first came out, there was a permanent stat boost and a lot more XP, but now it's slightly less. It is slain, 25 XP. Continue north. Something stirs. Watting sorcerer. Does it do anything? No, apparently it's forgotten the whole sorcery stuff and it's just trying to bash me. I'm complaining, that's for the best for everyone. Continue north along the passage. Continue north. Something stirs, it's a watting guard. Okay, now it scales to 7 plus. If I hadn't solved the puzzle below, okay, well if I hadn't read the solution to the puzzle below and then did it, this would be a lot harder. Like, blast through all your magic hard. And maybe even then have to use the Wand of Dragonfire / Finger of Dread. Make your way through the gloom, something stirs. A watting sorcerer, this is the 12th undead here. And it transmogrifies into 25 XP. After a lengthy trek, all the while moving north, you arrive at the foot of a wooden ladder that ascends through a small circular opening in the passage ceiling. To the north, the broad passage continues on with no end in sight. Continue along the corridor to the north. Moving past the ladder, you continue heading north along the passage after nearly an hour. Now, with no end of this strange corridor in sight, you turn and make your way back south. Okay, well, at least we found out. And honestly, after this hour trek, I hope I brought some sandwiches with me. Maybe some sandwiches, or maybe some pies. Maybe scotch egg. Well, okay. All your endless supply of adventurer rations, which of course all adventurers have, because honestly, game developers don't want to bloody have you worry about that. You got to worry about smashing the bad guys. Yeah, it's just assumed your guy's competent. He knows when to get food. You know, just like the same way that an archery person knows to get arrows. Oh no, agility's down to 19. Alright, which means... Oh, I'll just leave it be. Climb the ladder. Taking care not to lose your footing on the worn rungs of the sturdier ladder, you cautiously climb up to the top level of the tower. Oh, we're near to an hour, but I think we're very near the end of this dungeon. We'll just go forward. Go forward to the end. You're standing in a small, roughly circular chamber at the very top of the abandoned tower. Tall, narrow windows cut into the walls at regular intervals. Look out over much of the island. In the centre of the room, atop an ornate dais, stands a stone pedestal carved to resemble a forearm and a gasping hand. Clutched in the massive stone hand is an engraved iron bowl that serves as the tower's beacon. A wide orange flame weaves in the centre of the bowl, casting its dazzling, flickering light off the surrounding walls. Particular item may be of use here. Just that scroll of weathered parchment do anything? No, well, not yet. Okay. The wound covered jar then. Use it. 384 experience to general, because that is definitely what I was supposed to do. That's where you get XP. That's where you get a lot of XP. Well, a lot of XP for just using one item anyway. You hold the wound cover jar to the flame and remove the vessel's carved lid. For a moment, nothing appears to happen. Then, in the blink of an eye, the flame within the beacon vanishes. Your immediate dismay turns to elation when you realise the magical fire is now weaving inside the enchanted jar. I didn't think that taking the flame would, you know, destroy the flame there, because, you know, that's how fire works. It can spread. One fire can start another fire, and the first fire isn't really weakened, which is both inspiring and very, very dangerous if you don't take the proper precautions. Well, that's fire for you. It's both very useful and very metaphorical. Your immediate dismay quickly turns to elation when you realise the magical fire is now weaving inside the enchanted jar. Wasting no time, you replace the lid and safely tuck the jar in amongst your other possessions. With the flame from the tower's beacon now trapped inside the jar, you vow to return to Ironguard and seek out Albrin as soon as possible. Alright. The enchanted flame, which for so long burned in the iron bowl, is now safely trapped inside the wound-covered jar you're bearing. Has the description of the item changed? Let's just have a look at it. The jar now contains the magical flame from the beacon of the abandoned tower. Climb down the ladder, seven end of the passage. You begin and turn to head back towards the landing of the southern passage. End of the passage. Only discover you're nearly already there. Despite the considerable distance you travel to the north along the corridor, you're standing less than 10 yards from the stairs lead down to the tower's lower first level. Yep. Angle Crab has been doing some stuff here, that's for sure. You reach the landing and turn to glance back along the gloom-filled passage. Alright, descend the stairs. Alright, let's just rush back to leave the tower. Move away, call off the exploration, take the boat back to Ironguard. Alright, and save. Oh well, since I'm here, I think I can identify something. It's the Wing of Waiflore and 16 Arcania. Wing of Waiflore, so that's one wheel rating, one stamina point, two Neville Reserve. Now, since this is a... this is an adventure with pretty much no pro requests, that could be the best wing you could have if you did this first. You found this cold, weighty iron wing on the finger of an undead guardian in a gloomy tunnel of Thorn Isle. But I think for most people... oh, wait, you require 50 lore and 50 arcania. Most people, it's just going to be something to store in your residence to eventually have a little plaque next to it when you in the museum of all the cool museum of cool things that Sir Crokinson got and various knickknacks that he picked up along the way. Okay, probably needs a better name than that. Anyhow, yeah, it's something. I mean, Neville reserves, or it is handy. That's good. That's a bit harder to raise than the first two, but only a bit. Right, Eldorai Tavern. Speak with the tavern keeper. Buy an ale and something to eat. No, leave the tavern. Suddenly, as you turn to make your way outside, you spot Elborin gazing at you from a table near the door. Your eyes meet his unsettling stare, and the white-bearded man, his thick fingers wrapped tightly around an empty tankard, gives you a friendly nod. Retrieving the wound-covered jar from among your possessions, you stride up to him and set down the heavy container on the edge of the table. Oberyn smiles as he picks up the jar and lifts the lid. He peers inside the wound-covered container, his dark eyes vibrantly reflecting the dancing flame now trapped in the stone vessel. "You've done what I knew you would," he says, closing the lid and placing the jar in a cloth bag tied to his warm belt. "I would like to reward you, though I'm not certain how to go about it. Perhaps this?" Elgrim reaches across the table and places a small scrap of weathered parchment in front of you. The piece of parchment bears several strange symbols inked in black. Through faded, the curious script that covers the sheet is still legible. You immediately recognise the piece of parchment to be almost identical to the one you discovered while exploring Thorn Isle. You draw out the parchment from among your possessions and present it to Alperin. "All right, that's what it does. I was just about to tell you to seek out the second part of that," says Elbrin, nodding at the scrap of parchment he placed on the table. "Yet again, I find myself amazed and intrigued by you. Here, allow me to see both of them for just a moment." Elbrin takes both scraps of parchment and holds them together arm's length, his eyes dart back and forth, repeatedly passing over their worn surfaces. Finally, he folds both pieces and covers them with his left hand. The old man mumbles a few words, then suddenly lifts his hand, revealing a single, unblemished sheet of parchment. "Rune magic is very old, not entirely reliable, quite dangerous, and more than just a bit tricky to master," he says, handing the restored piece of parchment to you. "However, one must never go so far as to discard its uses. After all, even the very old who've fallen out of favour will now and again find themselves called to attend some forgotten task. I give to you, Sir Crokington, the Scroll of Three Wonders. Now, when the adventure first came out, in what, 2012 or something? Yep, this game is that old. You got a different, slightly better thing. But what are we getting now?" Elbrin tells you the scroll was something he long ago sought as pieced together, but that during an ill-fated adventure on the island, any hopes he had of retrieving that and came to an abrupt halt. "Because he died? Is that why?" "Such desires make little difference now," he says, smiling. "The scroll is yours, for as long as you can hold on to it. Wait, where is it? There, you see. It's already gone. But not about bestowing its free wondrous gifts. I hope you enjoy them. You've certainly earned them. My melee weighting has been permanently increased by 1. My stamina points have been permanently increased by 1. And those two things are, by quite a wide margin, the best sort of reward you can get. Other than perhaps a substantial amount of adventure tokens. But even then, adventure tokens might not be useful to you. But permanent stat boosts, they're good for everyone. I mean, at the highest levels, even huge amount of XP aren't useful. But everybody loves a stat up. 312 experience to general. Oberyn rises from the table, checks the bag dangling from his belt, and again thanks you for retrieving the enchanted flame. You ask him what he intends to do with the flame, and he pauses and closes his eyes, as if pondering how best to respond to your innocuous inquiry. Alright, so anyway, the original reward was the Scroll of the Horseman, which gave you 6 points that you could raise between melee rating, stamina points, spirit and luck. And you could adjust it, but you could never lower any bonus below 1. So you could raise one of them by 3 if you had 1 for the rest of them. So 3 melee rating and 1 stamina point. Yeah, so it's about twice as good as the bonus you get now. If you consider the bonuses to spirit and luck to be not that useful, because you've probably got them maximized by now. Because of course these don't raise the base level, so they won't affect the XP to level up. Something entirely wonderful, he says, opening his eyes and breaking into a broad, heartwarming smile. It'd be something that should have been done quite some time ago, mind. Thank you again, dear friend. Oberyn moves across the table and meets you on a shoulder cross. Then, without another word, he continues past you, shuffling across the half-empty room towards the door. You turn to watch him go, but more curious than ever to find out what use he'll make of the beacon's flame, only to find the tavern's front door closed. And no sign of Oberyn to be had. Yep. I'm pretty sure he's a ghost. And I'm pretty sure he died on that island. At some point. And then another person died on that island. So at least 2 people have died on that island. Although I suspect there's been several more as well. And a lot of goblins have died on that island, but a whole lot of fantasy has basically trained us not to really care if goblins die, unless they've been characterized first. Well, that doesn't happen that often. Startled by Oberyn's sudden disappearance, you immediately ask around amongst the tavern's patrons, seeking anyone who might have seen what has become of the old man. Much to astonishment, no one recalls having seen anyone fitting Oberyn's description. Perplexed by the strange turn of events, but unwilling to allow yourself to dwell on the incident, you call for an ale and summarily retake your seat at the table you shared with Oberyn. Outside, the late afternoon sky darkens as dust's grey mantle gently settles itself over Irongard. And that finishes this little quest. It's not a formal adventure, just a quest. I mean, a formal adventure is, there's a link, you say, start this adventure. Quests can just turn up unexpectedly and then end unexpectedly. Although, without the abandon this adventure option appearing in the middle, the difference between adventures and quests isn't quite so clear anymore. Anyway, 2,048 experience to general and 148 experience to all skills and powers. And that is that for Ironguard. So, what shall we do next? Alright, Western Tysa. What else is there to do? Let's see, is there an adventure near here? There's Wed Glen, where we can do Wander View with Death. I guess we'll be doing that next. I don't think that'll take up a whole episode. So maybe we'll think of something else to do. The go to Folkshire Commons. There's something to do there. But anyway, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.